This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن شاء الله tonight we will shift a little bit from studying biographies, individual biographies of a tabi'een, of the second generation after the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. And we will talk a little bit about the geopolitical situation at that time. And we will, inshallah, spend a few sessions going over the dynasty of Bani Umayyah. We know our Islamic history and the Khilafah, the ruling of the Muslim Ummah, has went through different phases of governments. And the first phase is what the Prophet ﷺ described as the guided Khilafah, Al-Khulafa al-Rashideen al-Mahdiyeen. And Rasulullah ﷺ predicted that it would be around 40 years, and it was 40 years from the passing away from the Prophet ﷺ. From the time that Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anh gave his bay'ah to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan to end the great tribulation, Al-Fitna al-Kubra, which were the one that was storming through our ummah, and many victims of the Muslims fell to that great events that happened at that time, and we went through that in details. Before we go over the dynasty of Bani Umayyah, I would like just to put a reminder in there that we are not in a position of judgment over the people of Bani Umayyah or other Sahaba as time goes, or even any other Khulafa for Tabi'een and later on. And what I can quote as far as that goes is what Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu anhu said when he was asked by one of his students. He was asked a very political question that was actually a dangerous question at that time. And he was asked, what do you think of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan as compared to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? Now he was giving a question that the answer for which should be easy for many of us to answer. But listen how the Imam answered the question. He said to the student, وَيْحَكَ انْظُرْ مَاذَا تَقُولُ. Oh, woe to you, woe to you, say, listen to what you are saying. He said, أَتُقَارِنُ صَحَابِيًّا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِرَجُلٍ مِنَ التَّابِعِينَ. He said, can you compare a companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning Muawiyah, of a man of the Tabi'een, who's the second generation after the Sahaba? He said, there is no comparison. You cannot compare these people. And تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. It's a nation that they passed before us. They, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them for what they have done, and we will not be asked for their deeds. And so we should not get the sin of criticizing or saying bad things about these people and not get the reward that they might have gotten for the good things that they have done during their lifetime. And it's very important here to study history very objectively, trying to really derive the lessons out of the history. Otherwise, if we try to study it from a biased standpoint, then we end up having a sort of a propaganda type sessions or a very biased way of looking at these lessons, and we will not benefit from that. It is very important to understand that the dynasty of Umayyah sponsored Al-Hajjaj on one hand, but also gave to the Islamic history Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. We know the dynasty of Bani Umayyah had led the Muslim Ummah to many wars and many problems and inside conflicts. But at the same time, there were so many great, great conquests and many great nations that were brought to Islam during the time of Bani Umayyah. So there is always this good and not so good. And what we need to know is how to derive the best lessons and how to know our history, how to learn our history, how to be proud of our history. There were great tribulation, there were great wars, there were so many victims. But if you look at our history as a Muslim Ummah and compare that to so many other nations, so many others fell through civil wars. Even this nation that we call home today, the American United States of America, the Civil War got half a million victims at a time where the entire population of the United States was less than 20 million. So you will see that there were great victims and great casualties that happened through civil war, and many things that come out of that tribulation that actually benefited this ummah and stabilized this ummah for a long, long time. Having said that, we inshallah start tonight studying the dynasty of Umayyah. And the first thing that I would like to start with is to know the pedigree or genealogy of the people of Umayyah. They're called Bani Umayyah because they are the sons of Umayyah, who is the son of Abd Shams, who is the son of Abd Manaf. And I put this first slide to show you how are they related to the Prophet ﷺ and the family of the Prophet ﷺ. We know the Prophet is from Bani Hashim. And Bani Umayyah are from Bani Abd Shams, or as known later on as Bani Umayyah, because Umayyah was of greater actually importance in history of Quraysh than his father. So the people of Umayyah were known to him, according to him, to Umayyah. Hashim and Abd Shams and Al-Muttalib wa Nawfal were the four children of Abd Manaf, and they formed the great four clans of the family of Abd Manaf. From Al-Muttalib, there will be later on, way down there, this tree, a great Imam will be born, who is Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i is a Qurayshi, he's from Quraysh, and he is from this clan, from the clan of Al-Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib is not from the clan of Al-Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ, was called so because Hashim died. And when Hashim died, his uncle of Shayba, Abdul Muttalib, his name is Shayba, his uncle brought him to Mecca, and he was riding with him, and people thought that Al-Muttalib bought a new slave. And so they started calling Shayba Abdul Muttalib, the slave of Al-Muttalib, although he was his uncle, and that was the title that stuck with Shayba ibn Hashim, who is known in history as Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim, the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from Abdul Muttalib came Abdullah, and then from him came the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, next to Hashim, his brother is Abd Shams. And in some books of history, there will be a claim, you will read a claim, although the narration of which, the reference of that is very weak, that Abd Shams and Hashim were twins. But I found that only in one reference. And they said that when Hashim and Abd Shams were born, they were stuck together, and when they separated them, blood came out. And from that, somebody gave a prophecy that there will be a great bloodshed between the children of Abd Shams and the children of Bani Hashim. But that goes really into more of a legend and a myth type of stories. Having said so, there was definitely sibling rivalry between these two clans of Quraysh, Bani Hashim and Bani Umayyah, or Bani Abd Shams. And both of them were always in competition for honor, for greatness, and for who will be the chieftain, who will be in leadership in Quraysh. Bani Umayyah were known for their great wealth. Many of the great wealthy people of Quraysh came from Bani Umayyah, like Utba ibn Rabi'a and others, and Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. Many of the great merchants in Quraysh, but many of the honorable people, or they're not very wealthy people of Quraysh, came from the house of Hashim, like Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim, who at one time he was the absolute chief of Quraysh, and then many of the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including Abu Talib, who was not very rich, but he was very honorable and he was in a great position in Quraysh. What happened when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was given the revelation, many of the people of Hashim protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although they did not follow his tradition, his religion, but they protected him and gathered around him to give him the honor that he deserves. But then the clan of Abd Shams was mostly against the revelation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether that came from direct competition, this old rivalry that was in Jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance, in the time of Jahiliyyah, of zealotry between the two families, where the people of Bani Umayyah thought they could not match the claim of Bani Hashim that they will have a prophet. Now if they will say we are richer than you, that they can match that. If they can say we are stronger than you, they will match that. But how can they match the claim of Bani Hashim that now they have a man of God who is receiving revelation directly from the Lord? So many of the people in Abd Shams or Umayyah became enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know the first three people that were killed in the Battle of Badr, Al-Walid ibn Utbah, Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, wa Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, all the three of them were from the clan of Bani Umayyah. And they were in leadership of that Qurayshi army in the Battle of Badr. Now, later on, the leadership of war against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, who was the leader of Quraysh in the two battles of Uhud and Al-Khandaq, which are the next two battles that Quraysh fought against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Mecca to conquer Mecca and to put it under the banner of Allah, under La ilaha illallah, he gave Abu Sufyan, who declared Islam reluctantly before the conquest, he gave him a special honor. He said, whoever enters the house of Allah is safe, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is safe, and whoever enters his own house is safe. And he gave Abu Sufyan a special honor, recognizing his position in Quraysh. The point of mentioning that is the house of Umayyah had a special station among Quraysh. What happened later on? Is we know that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, the succession went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and from then to Umar ibn al-Khattab directly, as recommended by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. When Umar was stabbed, he mentioned few names. He said, if they were alive, I would give them the khilafah like Abu Bakr gave me. And he mentioned Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, and he mentioned Salim, Mawla Abu Hudayfa, and many others. But he said, now I will leave the affair with six of the great Sahaba, and known as the people of the Shura, and they elected Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. The tribulation that started at the end of the time of Uthman ibn Affan ended up with giving the bay'ah in Medina and in Iraq, in Al-Kufa and Al-Basra, to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. However, Asham and Egypt remained with the people of Umayyah, and that was Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. How Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan came to power, we'll just briefly mention that, and we went over that in details, in great details, over the great tribulation and how things went between Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And if you want to go back to that, the slides and the sessions are available online to go back to this reference on Pleasant View School and the Memphis Muslims websites. So Muawiyah was actually a governor in a small part of Asham, of the what is known as Greater Syria today. And his brother Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan, was actually one of the four leaders that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq gave the initial banner to go to fight the Byzantine. So the man that actually started the influence of Bani Umayyah, of the people of Umayyah in Asham, was not Muawiyah, was his brother Yazid. But Yazid died during the plague, during the Ta'un of Amwas, which was the great plague that was in that time. And Yazid died, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu died, who was the great general. He was the main leader, the main commander of the Muslim army. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab gave Muawiyah the Imara. And later on, when Uthman came, Uthman gave Muawiyah the entire dominion of Asham. The entire Asham became under one governor, who was Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And one of the great things that helped Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, that he was there for 20 years as the absolute commander and governor in Asham. And during that long time of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he was able to establish loyalty. He was able to establish a lot of alliance between the tribes of Asham and between the Muslims and the non-Muslims that were residing in that area. And that was why it was very hard for Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu to shake the power, the influence of Bani Umayyah in Asham. And you know how events turned, and even the military victory of Ali radiallahu anhu in Siffin turned into political defeat after the judgment, and then later on the assassination attempt against the three people that the Khawarij, the rebels, thought that they were the head of this tribulation, who were Ali ibn Abi Talib, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and Amr ibn al-As. And the only victim that fell to that assassination conspiracy was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah was wounded, and Amr ibn al-As was not injured in this assassination attempt. So, Amr ibn al-As is from the people of Sahm. He's not from the clan of Bani Umayyah. He's a Sahmi. Amr ibn al-As is Sahmi. After we go into the dynasty of Umayyah, and I want to just go over this quickly, and we will go to it. In Bani Umayyah, as you go onto this slide, you will see Umayyah, the two main sons, the two most famous sons of Umayyah were Abu al-As and Harb. And from the offsprings of Harb came Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. And from Abu Sufyan came three Khalifa, three rulers of the Muslim Ummah: Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, who is known as Yazid al-Awwal, Yazid the first, and then Muawiyah Thani, Muawiyah the second, who is Muawiyah ibn Yazid ibn Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And these three Khalifa are, and I divided that for you to see that this offsprings of Harb and Abu Sufyan ibn Harb is what is known in the dynasty of Bani Umayyah as the House of Sufyan, Al-Bayt al-Sufyani. And from the House of Sufyan came three Khalifa. And we will see how that went. And then from the house of Abu al-As came Al-Hakam. And then the son of Al-Hakam is Marwan ibn Al-Hakam ibn Abu al-As ibn Umayyah. And Marwan ibn Al-Hakam was, as we know, sort of a secretary to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And he played a pivotal role in managing the affairs of Bani Umayyah, in helping Muawiyah to attain power and help him in his war against Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And later on we will see how Marwan ibn al-Hakam, when Muawiyah ibn Yazid ibn Muawiyah decided to retire the Khilafah and turn the affairs of Muslims back to Muslim, who was on his way to give his bay'ah to Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu, who was a Khalifa given the bay'ah in Mecca, then events turned and Al-Marwan ibn al-Hakam claimed Khilafah for himself. However, if you see, I put the color of the Khalifa in a little bit darker yellow, but Marwan ibn al-Hakam is not considered by many and the majority of Muslim scholars as a Khalifa. The reason being, because his bay'ah was only from the clan of Umayyah, and he died during the reign of Abdullah ibn Zubair, who is considered a Khalifa by most of the scholars. And the reference for that is one of the best books that are written about the history of the Khilafah in Islam, and it's written by a very trustworthy scholar who is Jalal al-Din al-Suyuti. He is one of the two Jalal that wrote the Tafsir al-Jalalin, Jalal al-Din al-Suyuti, and he wrote Tariq al-Khulafa, and he does not consider Marwan ibn al-Hakam as a Khalifa. He only recognizes, and many Muslim scholars do, the Khilafah of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan to start only after the death of Abdullah ibn Zubair. So from the house of Marwan come the rest of the Khulafa of Bani Umayyah, who are 10. There are 10 from the house of Marwan and 3 from the house of Sufyan. 10 min al-Bayt al-Marwani wa 3 min al-Bayt al-Sufyani. From the house of Marwan, mostly come from the dynasty of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan. Marwan had 3 children: Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, Abd al-Aziz ibn Marwan, wa Muhammad ibn Marwan. Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan had 4 children, all of which become Khalifa later on: Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, Yazid ibn Abd al-Malik, and Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik. And then from the dynasty of Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik comes Yazid, who is known as Yazid al-Thalith, because Yazid the third, because Yazid the second is Yazid of Ibn Abd al-Malik. And then from Yazid comes Al-Walid, who is known as the Walid al-Thani, the second Walid, because after that Walid of Abd al-Malik. From Abd al-Aziz ibn Marwan ibn al-Hakam comes the great Khalifa Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz radiyallahu anhu, who is considered by many scholars to be the fifth of all Khulafa al-Rashidin, the fifth guided Khalifa, and his reign was completely different from the rest of the rule of Bani Umayyah, although it lasted only for 2 years and few months. And then the very last Khalifa of Bani Umayyah was Marwan ibn Muhammad ibn Marwan ibn al-Hakam, and he was the last Khalifa that the people of Umayyah had. These numbers to show you the succession, how it went. First was Muawiyah, then Yazid, then Muawiyah, who reigned only for a few months. Then comes Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan after the break, where Abdullah ibn Zubair was a Khalifa. Then from Abd al-Malik, he gave his Khilafah to his son Al-Walid. Al-Walid tried to give it to one of his children, but Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik he became the Khalifa after that. We'll tell the story as well, inshallah, when we get to it. And then Sulaiman did a great thing. Instead of giving the Khilafah to one of his brothers or one of his children, he consulted with the righteous assistant of his name was Raja ibn Haywa, and Raja said, you cannot go wrong if you give this matter to a people, that to a man who is worthy of it. And he jumped rank. Instead of keeping that in the dynasty of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, he recommended the Khilafah to Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, which was the brightest time of the dynasty of Umayyah. Then it went back to Yazid, and then from Yazid went to Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, then from Hisham went to Al-Walid ibn Yazid ibn Abd al-Malik, then to Yazid ibn al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, then the last one was Marwan ibn Muhammad, and by his death started the dynasty of Bani Abbas. This chart goes, this is a timeline, from the year 40 to year 132. Each bar represents the time of a certain Khalifa of the people of Bani Umayyah. And it is in light yellow, as you see here, and in the middle of that I gave Abdullah ibn Zubair his time from 64. Let me just make sure. Yes, from 64 to 73 years after Hijrah, these 9 years were from the Khalifa was Abdullah ibn Zubair, and he was not from the house of Umayyah, and later on went back to the people of Umayyah. But the Khilafah of Abdullah ibn Zubair divides the reigns of the house of Sufyan and then the house of Marwan. So you see that the house of Sufyan reigned from 40 to 64, and most of that time Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was the Khalifa, then Yazid al-Awwal, then Muawiyah al-Thani, then Abdullah ibn Zubair, and you see Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan also reigned for a long time. He reigned for 13 years. Then Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik for closer to about 10 years. And we will, inshallah, go over all of that in details. The first Khalifa that we will study from the people of Bani Umayyah is Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, because he is a Sahabi. He is one of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was born before the Hijrah, 15 years before the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he embraced Islam, he was one of the Tulaqa. And that was something that the rest of the Sahaba or his enemies always put that as a stain in front of his face. At-Tulaqa are the people who were freed. They are the non-believers of Quraysh who were freed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from death. They were supposed to be condemned to death, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them their freedom and he pardoned them by his famous word. He said, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. You go and you are the freed ones. And that's what they were called. And Muawiyah was one of the people that embraced Islam after that time with his father Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. So the some people, when they want to call him a derogatory name, they will say Taliq ibn Taliq. You are a freed one, son of a freed one. And he was a Muslim at the age of 23 years. However, after he became a Muslim, his Islam was good, and he was one of the writers of the Wahy. He was one of the writers that the Prophet ﷺ depended on to write the revelation on different pages and to teach the revelation to others. And also in the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq gave Muawiyah an army to support his brother Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan in his wars in Asham. And that was the first time that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan went to Asham, and he was under the commandership of his brother Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan. And he was he had a great role in conquering many cities in Lebanon, Saida and Beirut and Arqa. Where is Arqa? I don't know. Then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh made him a governor and made him an emir over Jordan, over the province of Jordan. And then after Yazid died, Umar ibn Khattab gave him Damascus. And then in under Uthman, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anh, as we said, gave him the entire province, the entire territory of Asham, which is what includes today four countries of Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, may Allah return it to the Muslims, and Jordan. And then Muawiyah stayed there until the murder of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anh, and the Great Tribulation started, and we know what happened during that tribulation. And one of the things that happened during the tribulation is the people of Asham found themselves fighting under the banner of Muawiyah. And they were fighting a Khalifa. They were fighting a Khalifa Muslim. So how could they justify fighting under no leadership of a successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while they are fighting the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is elected as a Khalifa by the great Sahaba? But to resolve this problem, they elected to give Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan the bay'ah, to give him the pledge, and they elected Muawiyah as their Khalifa. But he was not recognized as the Khalifa for the Muslims until the moment when Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anh gave the bay'ah to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan to stop the bloodshed, to stop the bloodshed between the Muslims. That was in Rabi' al-Awwal of the year 41 after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at that time, Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anh fulfilled the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said about Al-Hasan, إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا لَهُ شَأْنٌ عَظِيمٌ. This my son will have a great importance in history. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that Allah, who is my son, meaning Al-Hasan, will rectify, will repair the problem between two great groups of the believers, the both believers as witnessed by the Prophet ﷺ. From that year on, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan became a Khalifa. And he is not considered a Malik. Now let me stop there and put that differentiation that some of the scholars, you will see, put a differentiation between what is known as Al-Khulafa and Al-Muluk. Al-Khulafa is a successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Khalifa. Malik is a king, is somebody who rules by mere authority of his kingdom. And the difference among some of the, not all the scholars said that, but just for people that read different books, and they will see that difference. That some said if the Khalifa was elected by the method of Ashura, meaning if the entire Muslim Ummah willingly and voluntarily in a free will elected that man unanimously by the majority of people to be the Khalifa, then he is a Khalifa. If this man inherited authority and held on to it by just mere power, then he is considered a king, like any king on the face of the earth, the way that kings inherit kingdom from their fathers. And Muawiyah is not considered a king, he is considered a Khalifa, because all the Muslims willingly, at the time when Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anh, they gave their bay'ah to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, including all the great Sahaba that lived at that time. So Muawiyah is not considered one of the kings, he is considered the Khalifa. However, later on, many of the people, the dynasty of Bani Umayyah, are considered a Khalifa, min al-Khulafa al-Muluk, the Khalifa who are kings, except Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Although Umar ibn Abdul Aziz received the Khilafa by direct recommendation of Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, the first thing he did is he rejected it all back, put the matter back in Shura, but the Muslims re-elected Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and he is considered the Khalifa. Yes, Brother Rashid.
Why were Hassan and Hussein
killed later on, after the death of Muawiyah radiallahu anh. That was a little bit later and we will come into that inshallah. However, the exact details of that is again available on the internet with very detailed slides to explain that. Because we went over that second fitna in great detail, the fitna when Al-Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anh was slaughtered in the Battle of Karbala. The time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was greatly welcomed by many Muslims across the board because Muslims were tired of infighting. Muslims were tired of battles like Safin, where 90,000 Muslims fell on the battlefield of Safin, and that was the greatest number of casualties that Muslims had in any battle up to date, up till that time. They never had 90,000 casualties in Al-Qadisiyah, they never had 90,000 casualties in Al-Yarmouk, or all the battles combined. Imagine that the Muslims had not actually accumulated number of casualties in all the battles combined to Safin that include the entire conquest of Fars and the conquest of Asham and the conquest of Egypt. All the victims that fell to Muslims were not equal to the victims that fell in one battle of Safin. So people were ready for peace. People were ready to calm down and to regroup and to reorganize this Muslim Ummah. And that is exactly what Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan did. And during most of the 19 years of his reign, it was time of calm. It was time of peace. It was time of regrouping. And it was time of learning. Many of these great schools that we were talking about at Tabi'in, we spoke of at Tabi'in, we spoke of Muhammad ibn Sirin, Al-Hasan al-Basri, the school of Al-Basra, the school of Al-Kufa, the school of Al-Madina, all this great time of learning happened during the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, because people were not busy in fighting, they were not busy in politics, in who is for Ali and who is for Muawiyah and etc. So it was really a good time for the Muslim Ummah. However, the only trouble came to Muawiyah was from Al-Khawarij, the rebels, but the numbers of them were few, but later on they will increase in numbers. And Muawiyah, during his time, he resumed the Islamic conquest. He resumed, number one, during that time, many of the nations that are surrounding the Muslims started feeling the weakness in the Muslim Ummah that is fighting, the infighting that is happening between the Muslims during the tribulation. Even the Byzantine moved and they wanted to reclaim Asham. And Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan sent them a great message. And he sent it directly to Caesar. And he said, لَأُبَايِعَنَّ ابْنَ عَمِّي وَآتِي مَعَهُ عَلَيْكَ. He said, I will go give a pledge to my cousin, meaning Ali, and I'll come with my cousin to fight you. And he used the word cousin to remind the Byzantine that, listen, if you are going to threaten the Muslim Ummah, then it wouldn't matter. And that is one of the good position that is that the history records for Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And the Byzantine army retreated. But many of the people that gave pledges to Muslims, the jizya payers, the payers of the tax of protection, were now starting to go back on their words. And some of the territories that the Muslims had during the time of Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan, started retreating and the nation felt threatened. So when Muawiyah settled the affairs of the Muslim, he started sending armies back to reclaim some of these areas. And some of the areas that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he sent an army to Turkestan, he sent an army to Kabul, which is the, as we know today, the capital of Afghanistan, and he sent an army to Lahore. And I hope I put Lahore right on the map, somewhere up there. And then he sent a great army to Constantinople. The first siege of Constantinople, which is the capital of the Byzantine, the Eastern Roman Empire, happened during the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And he gave the leadership of that army to Sufyan ibn Auf, and that happened during the year 48 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that army he sent his son Yazid, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, to fight with the Muslims. In that army there was Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar, and Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhuma, wa Abu Ayyub ibn al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Jami'an. So some of the great Sahaba were in that army. And Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, at the age of 90, and in some scholars said 96, he was fighting, he was with that army to just get the reward, and he died at the age over 90 years old, under the walls of Constantinople. And he was buried there. And there is a masjid today where Abu Ayyub al-Ansari is buried. And the Khulafa of Bani Uthman, the Uthmani Khalifas, used to crown themselves for the Khilafa in that masjid. And the masjid where Abu Ayyub al-Ansari is buried. So just see this stamina. When Abu Ayyub al-Ansari was called upon to go in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the age of 90, he replied, and he went with the army to spread the word of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, for us to remember, is the man that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed in his house when he first came to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara in his hijrah. However, the conquest of Constantinople did not happen. It later on did happen. There is a famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was asked by the Sahaba, Shall we conquer the Roman? And the Roman had two capitals, and it was Constantinople and Rome, Romia. And he said, "Tuftahu Constantiniyatu awwalan, thumma Romia." That Constantinople will be conquered first, and then Roma. So the Muslims asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that army, because they were yearning to conquer the Byzantine Empire, and he said, "خير الفاتحين فاتحها وخير الجيوش جيوشها." As one of the best armies is that army that conquer Constantinople, and one of the best conquerors of Muslims is the one that conquers Constantinople, and that was Muhammad al-Fatih al-Uthmani radiyallahu anhu. Also, Muawiyah did a great thing after the conquest of Lebanon, of the mountains of Lebanon. There was a lot of trees that the Muslims, that cypress trees, I think, mostly. Now, what they call them?
Cedars.
Right, this, of course, the cedar tree. The cedar trees in Lebanon. And Muawiyah used that in building the first Muslim fleet. Now, this is something that is the history of course to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. He built 1,700 ships. He built the first Muslim fleet, and he sent it on into the Mediterranean, and they conquered the island of Cyprus and the island of Rhodes. And many of the Greek isles during the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Then he sent one of the great leaders to Africa, to northern Africa. Now the Muslims got to Egypt, and they did not go beyond Barqa. Barqa is in today Libya, and it is on the eastern part of Libya. But they never got through the great desert into what is today is Tunisia and Algeria. And he sent a great leader who is Uqba ibn Nafi', and he gave them the army, and he directed them to go fight the Roman. There was still a Roman place in northern Africa, and he conquered the Roman, and he built a place in Tunisia called Al-Qayrawan. This was a wooded area, it was not inhabited, and the Muslim cleaned the woods, and they built the first masjid there, and that masjid, the place of that masjid, is still a place of prayer today. It's known one of the great places called Masjid Al-Qayrawan, the place of Al-Qayrawan, the mosque of Al-Qayrawan, and he was built during the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anh, by the great leader Uqba ibn Nafi', and that happened in the 50th year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the entire army that Uqba ibn Nafi' took with him was 10,000 people. He conquered that entire territory with only 10,000 soldiers, and he built Al-Qayrawan. And in Al-Qayrawan later on became a university, one of the great universities in the Islamic history, Jami'at Al-Qayrawan, one of the first universities that actually spread the light of Renaissance into Europe. What happened at the end time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan is what many people criticize the Khilafah of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan for, and that is giving the bay'ah to his son. Now this is something the Muslim did not know before. To give the Khilafah by inheritance, to have actually a dynasty for the Muslims. Now, one of the conditions of the treaty between Al-Hasan ibn Ali and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan were either to give this back to Al-Hasan ibn Ali if Muawiyah dies, or to put it back in Shura, to put it back into the hands of Muslims for them to choose who is best for them. But something else happened during the reign of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan that changed the Muslim history forever. And that is Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, according to many of the historians, who was one of the people of Umayyah. He came to Yazid and he started talking to him about his worthiness of being a Khalifa. He started preparing Yazid. And part of that, and this is again, we're not trying to judge these great people. Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah is really one of the Sahaba, and we are not in a position to criticize him, but many people said it during the time of the Great Tribulation, there was a fear of retaliation against the people of Umayyah from many of the supporters of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Al-Khawarij. And many of the people of Umayyah were afraid if they relinquish power, they will become victims to all that vigilante justice that is coming towards them from the people that were either abused or killed during the Great Tribulation. The other thing is just a merely and purely love of power, love of authority, love of being in control, the human trait, and we have to remember the humanity in these people. So Muawiyah was given the advice, and here's what Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah was quoted to tell Muawiyah. He said, رَأَيْتَ مَا كَانَ مِنْ سَفْكِ الدِّمَاءِ وَالِاخْتِلَافِ بَعْدَ عُثْمَانِ. He said, you have seen the bloodshed and how with the difference and a division that happened in the Muslim Ummah after Uthman. You don't want that to happen again. They were given the advice to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. وَفِي يَزِيدٍ مِنْكَ خَلَفٍ. And Yazid is the best successor for you. So give him the bay'ah, and if something happened, there will not be any bloodshed and there will not be any tribulation. So this is the argument that was given to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, that you will prevent the bloodshed if you give the bay'ah to Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Of course, the argument against that is much stronger, and it's much more so, and the Sahaba al-Kiram did not hold back, and we will see what happened. And Al-Mughira said, I will take care of Al-Kufa, because he was Al-Amir over Kufa. He was in charge of Al-Kufa. And he said, and Ziyad, your brother, Ziyad ibn Abi Sufyan, is over Al-Basra. And you have Al-Sham. So if you have Al-Iraq and you have Al-Sham, these are really the places of power and control in the Muslim Ummah at that time. So if you have these two territories, then you just give this back to your son and nobody will oppose you. Ziyad ibn Abi Sufyan, his brother, the brother of Muawiyah, did not approve of this plan. Al-Mughira said, I'll take care of Al-Kufa and your brother will take care of Al-Basra. Well, the brother of Muawiyah did not approve that this will happen. And if you remember the position of Ziyad ibn Abi Sufyan, he was with Ali radiallahu anhu during the time of tribulation against his own brother, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and he remained straight with his position and he refused to let the power be relinquished and be given to her inheritance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah. However, Ziyad died. Ziyad died, radiallahu anhu, and there was time again for this idea to come up and be true in the mind of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So here was Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah in Al-Iraq, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan in Al-Sham, and who was in Al-Madinah was Marwan ibn al-Hakam. Marwan ibn al-Hakam was the governor over Al-Madinah. So now they have the three great pivotal people of Bani Umayyah in the main territories in the Muslim world. And Masr, Egypt, was always with the people of Bani Umayyah. So they thought this is the right time to get the bay'ah to Yazid ibn Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So Marwan ibn al-Hakam gathered the people in Medina. Who was in Medina? The Sahaba were in Medina. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Muawiyah knew that was the great challenge, is to actually get the bay'ah of the Sahaba. The Sahaba are the ones that people look up to. The people are guided by this role model. They're not guided by any other. So Marwan ibn al-Hakam gathered the people in the mosque of Al-Madinah, in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave the speech that the Prophet, that Amir al-Mu'mineen, inna Amir al-Mu'mineen qad ikhtara lakum, falam ya'lu, waqad istakhlaf abnahu Yazid. He said, the Amir al-Mu'mineen has chosen for you, and he did the right choice, and he chose his son Yazid for you. So Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr stood up. Abdul Rahman, the son of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, مَالْ خِيَارَ أَرَدْتُمْ لِأُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ. You didn't want the choice for the people of the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَجْعَلُوهَا هِرَقْلِيَّ كُلَّمَا مَاتَ هِرَقْلْ قَامَ هِرَقْلْ. He said, you want to make it like the Caesar dynasty, like the Heraclius dynasty. When Caesar dies, Caesar lives. Another Caesar comes to power. Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu said something like that, and he was alive at that time, and Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Zubair. So Marwan ibn al-Hakam sends his report to Muawiyah. He said, the great Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Zubair, and Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr, the children of the great Sahaba, are all in opposition. No go on this plan so far. So Muawiyah gathered people from delegations from all the Amsar, from all the territories. And his assistants, who became later on the governor of Al-Sham, his name is Al-Dhahhak ibn Qais. Muawiyah told Al-Dhahhak, when the delegations gather in Dimashq, in Damascus, you recommend that Yazid becomes a Khalifa, and we will follow up on your recommendation. So the plan went. And Muawiyah was one of the great politicians of his time. And it was known that four people were known of their intelligence and shrewdness in politics among the Arabs of that time. One of them was Muawiyah. The other one was Ziyad ibn Abi Sufyan, his brother. And the third one was Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. And the fourth one was Amr ibn al-As. All of them were really allies to the people of Umayyah. So, if not from the people of Bani Umayyah. So that was the political power, the skills of being a politician were all really heavily in the hands of Bani Umayyah. So Al-Dahhak recommended Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, who was one of the great Tabi'een, who was one of the leaders of the armies of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said to Muawiyah, after he was asked what his opinion is, and Muawiyah told the Al-Ahnaf, what is your opinion? Al-Ahnaf said, نَخَافُكُمْ إِن صَدَقْنَا وَنَخَافُ اللَّهُ إِن كَذَبْنَا. He said, if we tell the truth, we fear you. But if we lied, meaning recommending Yazid, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, it's not a win situation for us. So he said then to Muawiyah, he said, أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِيَزِيدِ. You know better about Yazid than we do. You know more about Yazid than we do. فِي لَيْلِهِ وَنَهَارِهِ وَسِلِّهِ وَسَرِّهِ وَلَعَلَانِيَتِهِ فَإِنْ كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهُ لِلَّهِ وَلِلْأُمَّةِ رِضَى فَلَا تُشَاوِرْ فِيهِ. He said, you know better about Yazid than we know about him. He's your son. So if you know him as good, just as good in his announced plans as he is in his secrecy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't consult us. You know your son better. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمْ فِيهِ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. But if you know anything other than that about Yazid, فَلَا تُزَوِّدْهُ لِلدُّنْيَا وَأَنْتَ صَائِرٌ لِلْآخِرَةِ. Don't give him the dunya and you are going to the akhirah. You are going to be asked about the things that he's going to enjoy in this dunya, or all the power that he's going to have in this dunya. وَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْنَا أَن نَقُولَ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. He said, we will obey if we are asked. So after that, Muawiyah secured al-Iraq, and secured al-Sham, and secured Masr, Egypt, for the bay'ah of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. We have to stop at 9:30? No? No, 45. And I really don't want this to be too long. It's been like more over an hour lately, and this is a long time for people to concentrate, so I apologize. We'll try to really cut it short. So Muawiyah went after he secured the bay'ah, secured the pledge for Yazid, and forgive me if I go over that, it's really one of the great important events that happened in our history. This changed the history of the Khilafah, this event that happened during the reign of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So after he secured al-Iraq, secured al-Sham, and secured Masr, he went into al-Hijaz. We went to Mecca and al-Medina, and he had 1,000 soldiers with him. And he called the people, the opposition and the Sahaba were in 3 people. Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abdullah ibn Umar, wal Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. And he called these people and he wanted to meet with them. Muawiyah now himself is going to meet with these people, not through Marwan ibn al-Hakam, and try to get their approval or their bay'ah for his son. And this is what has been reported in some of the history books and in many of the Muslim history books, especially in the later period. The 3 Sahaba decided that Abdullah ibn Zubair will be the one that will talk for them, that will be speaking for them. And Muawiyah told them that you know about me and you know how I cared for you and how I cared for your families and how I cared for the Muslims. وَحَمْلِي مَا كَانَ مِنْكُمْ and how I buried the burden of the Muslims. وَيَزِيدُ أَخُوكُمْ وَابْنِ عَمِّكُمْ. Yazid is your brother, and he is your cousin. I mean, they're all from the same tribe. He's reminding them. وَأَرَدْتُ أَن تُقَدِّمُوهُ بِاسْمِ الْخِلَافَةِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْزُلُونَ وَتَأْمُرُونَ وَتَجْبُونَ الْمَالَ وَتَقْسُمُونَهُ وَلَا يُعَارِضُكُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. The politician, Muawiyah, says to the 3 Sahaba, he said, I want you to put Yazid as a front for the Khilafah. And تُقَدِّمُوهُ بِاسْمِ الْخِلَافَةِ. Just put him as a front. وَتَكُنُونَ أَنْتُمْ الَّذِينَ تَأْمُرُونَ وَتَعْزِلُونَ. You 3 of you, you will be in charge. You will be appointing governors. You will be the demoting people. You will be gathering the money into the treasury. You will be dividing the money. Meaning, just put Yazid as a front. Just give him the name of Khalifa, and all of 3 of you, you will be in charge of this ummah. Now he's talking to some of the great scholars in this ummah. He's talking to Abdullah ibn Umar, he's talking to Abdullah ibn Zubair, and he's talking to al-Husayn ibn Ali, radiyallahu anhum jami'an wa an abaihim. I mean, he's talking to the great people of this ummah, and there is no way that they will buy something like that. Ibn Zubair as agreed, he replied to him. And he said, no, you have three choices. He's telling Muawiyah, مُخَيِّرُكَ فِي ثَلَاثٍ. You choose one of the three. مَسْتَصْمَعْ كَمَا صَنَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. تَمْضِي وَلَا تُخَلِّفْ أَحَدًا. He said, قُبِضَ وَلَمْ يَتَخَلَّفْ أَحَدًا. You do either what the Prophet ﷺ did. You die and you don't name a Khalifa and let the people take care of that issue. And the people chose Abu Bakr. Muawiyah said, لَيْسَ فِيكُمْ مِثْلُ أَبِي بَكْرِ. He said, the likes of Abu Bakr are not amongst you. I can't do that. I can't just leave it up because there's nobody like Abu Bakr amongst you. And then Abdullah bin Zubair said the second choice, عَهِدَ رَجْلَ رَجْلٍ مِنْ قَاصِيَةِ قُرَيْشِ لَيْسَ مِنْ بَنِي أَبِيهِ فَاسْتَخْلَفَ. He said, you can name a man, but not from your family. Like Abu Bakr did, name Umar, and Umar is not from his family. So the choice will not be biased. He said, this is your second choice. Name somebody, that's fine. You don't want to leave it up to tribulation. Name someone, but he cannot be from your clan. Like Abu Bakr named someone that is not from his clan. وَإِنْ شِئْتَ فَصْنَعْ كَمَا صَنَعَ عُمَرُ. You don't like what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did. You say there is no one like Abu Bakr. You say you don't want to do like what Abu Bakr did. So do like Umar and choose six people that is not from your family. Because Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh asked for Abdullah ibn Umar to be with them, but he said he cannot be the Khalifa. His son cannot be the Khalifa after him. He said, enough for people of Al-Khattab that I was the Khalifa. So he said, this is your third choice, is you choose other people. And Muawiyah said, هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ غَيْرُ هَذَا? Do you have another choice for me? And they said, no. These are the three choices that we'll approve upon. Muawiyah then said, إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ أَنَ تَقَدَّمَ إِلَيْكُمْ أَنَّهُ قَدْ أُعْذِرَ مَنْ أَنْذَرَ. He started threatening in his tone. He said, the one that gives the warning is excused, that you have been warned. He said, إِنِّي كُنْتُ أَخْطُبُ فِيكُمْ فَيَقُومُ إِلَيَّ الْقَائِمُ مِنْكُمْ فَيُكَذِّبُنِي عَلَى رُؤُوسِ النَّاسِ فَأَحْمِلُوا وَأَصْفَحْ إِنِّي قَائِمٌ بِمَقَالَةٍ فَأُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ لَإِنْ رَدَّ عَلَيَّ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ كَلِمَةً فِي مَقَامِ هَذَا لَا تَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِ كَلِمَةٌ غَيْرُهَا حَتَّى يَسْبِقُهَا السَّيْفُ إِلَى رَأْسِهِ فَلَا يُبْقِيَنَّ رَجُلٌ إِلَّا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. These words mean that I have warned you enough, and I have tolerated enough of this dissent. And now I will tell you something, and the man that will answer me with anything, yes or no, they will see the sword faster than the word that should reply to them. Meaning the sword will be the next thing that will come to their heads. And then what he did is he called his guard and he said, put two people behind each one of these sahaba. Put two people with their weapons, with their swords, and let the people come. And if they replied, they opened their mouth, yes or no, then cut their head off. And he called upon the people and he told. And he made it a public announcement. And he said, these people gave me the pledge for Yazid, and I want you to continue on and give me the pledge like these people did. Meaning Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Zubair, and Hussein ibn Ali. And people thought really that these people gave the pledge to Yazid, and they gave the pledge to Yazid, and the three Sahaba remained silent under the sword. And this bay'ah is known as bay'ah to siyuf, the pledge of the sword. Because the one that was actually given the pledge was not Al-Hussein ibn Ali or Abdullah ibn Zubair or Abdullah ibn Umar. It was the threat of the swords against Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And one of the narrations that Abdullah ibn Umar, who was very peaceful and he always avoided conflict and tribulation, he gave the pledge to Muawiyah and he said, أَدْخُلُ فِي مَا تَجْتَمِعُ عَلَيْهِ الْأُمَّةِ فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَى حَبَشِيٍّ دَخَلْتُ مَعَهَا. He said, I will give my pledge to whatever the general ummah of Muslim give the pledge to. But if there is a consensus, I'm with it, whoever the Khalifa was. Because Abdullah ibn Umar and his school of Abdullah ibn Umar believed that to actually have a consensus, even on a man that is not the most worthy of the job, is better than having any conflict. And especially after the great lessons that these people took from the great tribulation. And that was how Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan got the pledge to his son Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and that's how the end of the Shura, of the Tab of the Khilafah, happened, and that happened during the end of the reign of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And from then on, the Khilafah became dynasty. There was the dynasty of Umayyah, there was the dynasty of Abbas, and later on, the last dynasty was the dynasty of Uthman, the dynasty of Bani Uthman, or Al-Uthmaniyin, the Turkish rulers that had their capital in Istanbul. Now, some of the good things that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan did, other than the conquest, and we will go through them quickly as time is getting close. One of the things that, before I go to the good things, just one last thing that is mixed about Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, that some of the severe criticism to Ali ibn Abi Talib continued during the 20 years of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and it continues during all the Khilafah, all the reigns of the successors of Muawiyah until Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, meaning that for every khatib to give their khutbah in the time of Bani Umayyah, they have to mention Ali ibn Abi Talib with bad words or mention him in a bad way to fulfill the khutbah, to fulfill their preaching, until Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anh stopped that custom. Some of the things that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan did to organize the government is he invented the first Islamic postal service. Now, postal service in the Arabic word is called al-barid. And al-barid is basically, the meaning of the word is 12 miles, which is how long the horse can go without resting. The horse can actually go for 12 miles before stopping to rest. And Muawiyah created a very good system of having a position for horses to rest every 12 miles and cover the entire Muslim territory at that time. And he had the first postal service. We're talking 1400 years ago. And the other thing that he invented is creating the guards, creating his own personal guards. And at the time of the Khalifa before him, like Umar, Abu Bakr, and others, there were no guards. You come to the Khalifa like you're meeting any other person. There is no hajib, there is no barrier, there is no distance between the Khalifa. But however, after the assassination attempt against his life, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan created the position of the guards. And many of the scholars of that time and later on actually approved that position. The life of the Khalifa should be protected. The life of the man that actually represent the Ummah and lead the Ummah should be protected. And it's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is from ittikhad al-asbab, from taking precautions, a human precaution against these things. And the last, one of the other things that is also credited for Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan is the archiving the records of the Muslim Ummah. And he started the first archiving, and the story goes is that happened because he wrote a letter to give one man a bounty, to give one man a reward for 100,000 dirham. And when the man got the letter and went to the treasury, he make one out of two in Arabic, it's very easy, you just put a line on top. And he put a line on top, and instead of taking 100,000, he took 200,000. So from that on, they created the position of ad-diwan. Ad-diwan, which is the archives, and where things are recorded in Dar al-Khilafah, in the house of the Khalifa or the administration of the Khalifa. And it was recorded in Latin. At that time, the records were kept in Latin, because Latin, most people in Asham, most people in the area of Syria at that time, they didn't know Arabic. And most of them were Romans, actually. They were Byzantine. And the records, the official language of the government at that time was Latin. And then it transferred into Persian. And then it's not until the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan until it became in Arabic. So it took really more than a decade or so to transfer the records from Latin and Persian into Arabic. Muawiyah died in Damascus on the 60th year after the Hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. And we spend the last few minutes with the will of Muawiyah to his son Yazid. He said, Ya Bunay, إني كفيتك الشد والترحال ووطأت لك الأمور وذللت لك الأعداء وأخضعت رقاب العرب وجمعت لك ما لم يجمعه أحد. His son Yazid was not actually present in Damascus, so he wrote that will for him. And he said, I made it happen for you. I paved the way for you to be in the position that you are in, and I did not let you take the burden of the fighting and the hassle of getting the people together. فانظر أهل الحجاز. Take care of the people of الحجاز, meaning مكة and المدينة. فإنهم أصلك وأكرم من قدم عليك منهم وتعاهد من غاب. He said, take care of the people of الحجاز. Always check on them and always care for them. And they are, you originated from them, your family originated from them. وانظر أهل العراق فإن سألوك أن تعزل عنهم كل يوم عاملا فافعل فإن عزل عامل أسهل من أن يشهر عليك 100,000 سيف. He said, take care of people of Iraq and be careful with them. And if they ask you to change the governor every day, do it. Don't make them angry. Don't make the people of Iraq angry. An advice, actually. Good advice from Muawiyah. He's got a very, very good vision. And he said, it is easier to change the governor than to make 100,000 swords angry with you. Meaning, and that's exactly, it's words of wisdom, because that's what happened later on. All these the tribulation that came after that came from the area of Iraq. And then said, وَانْظُرْ أَهْلَ الشَّامِ. And take care of the people of Hashem. فَهُمْ بِطَانَتُكَ وَغَيْبَتَكَ. They are your support. Your base is in Hashem. And that is the base of the people of Umayyah. And he said, لَسْتُ أَخَافُ أَنْ يُنَازِعَكَ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ إِلَّا أَرْبَعَ. He said, four people will give you headache. Four people that they will actually be against you in this situation. And that just tells you the intelligence and the shrewdness of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And he said, الحسين ibn Ali. وعبد الله بن عمر وعبد الله بن الزبير وعبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر. These four people, they will be against you. He said, أما ابن عمر فإنه رجل قد وقدته العبادة. Ibn Umar is a pious man. All he cares is his worship. And if he feels that the consensus is with you, he will follow you. So don't fear عبد الله بن عمر. أما الحسين فهو رجل خفيف ولن يتركه أهل العراق حتى يخرجوه فإن خرج وظفرت به فاصفح عنه فإن له رحما ماسا وحقا عظيما وقرابة من محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, Al-Hussein is easy to get angry. Al-Hussein, it's easy to provoke Al-Hussein. And the people of Al-Iraq will get him out. And that's exactly what happened. And he said, if you get him, forgive him. And that was the will of Muawiyah. He said, don't kill Al-Hussein. Forgive Al-Hussein. Let him go because of his relationship to you and his closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَمَّا ابْنُ أَبِي بَكْرَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ أَبِي بَكْرَ فَإِنَّ أَصْحَابَهُ صَنَعُوا شَيْئًا صَنَعَ مِثْلَهُ. He said, Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr will follow the rest. Abdul Rahman, if he sees Abdullah ibn Umar is given bay'ah and Al-Hussein is given bay'ah, he will follow the rest. He said, أَمَّا الَّذِي يَجْثِمُ لَكَ جُثُومَ الْأَسَدِ وَيُرَاوِغَكَ مُرَاوَغَةَ الثَّعْلَبِ فَذَلِكَ ابْنُ الزُّبَيْرِ فَإِنْ هُوَ فَعَلَهَا فَقَطِّعَهُ إِرَبًا إِرَبًا. He said, the one that will be like the lion for you and they will maneuver you like a fox is Abdullah ibn Zubayr. If you catch him, then tear him into pieces. This one you cannot negotiate with, and that one is actually the one that became a khalifa for more than 10 years, and then he died in Damascus in Rajab of the 60th year of Hijrah. And inshallah we'll continue with the Yazid al-Awwal, Yazid ibn Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and we will go rather quickly through the khilafa of Yazid, and later on Muawiyah Thani was a few months, and then Abdul Malik ibn Marwan next session. And this is all really trying to pave the way, because we are all waiting for just some good time, and that will come inshallah with the reign of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu anhu wa ardah. And for that we'll close tonight. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.